game over, man. Game over.
She just played a helicopter with a car.
Say what again? I dare you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the BCD Flixtures Movie Review Podcast, where we review Netflix movies for Flixtures just like you and me, because I'm just have good tastes. And we also are brought to you by Big Bird, who is apparently becoming a notoriously political figure in the last recent election. All right, we're going to go ahead and welcome our co-host. First off, Mr.
Hello, Bama here.
And
Daniel Stahl.
And again, joined by the fabulous
Jesse. I just knew you guys couldn't have enough of me, so I came back for one more week.
He's pretty much a beast. It's kind of hard to deny that kind of awesomeness. Well, we're going to go ahead and start with the usual top five at the box office. So, guys, you're never going to guess what was open number one.
Does it have to do with the air?
No, no air.
Does it have to do with people?
No.
Jumping from a great distance.
Like they're falling or something like that?
From the sky?
Oh, my.
Skyfall!
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Not Skyfall. Again. Skyfall! It opened.
Okay, Adele.
It opened with $88.3 million. That is a number one record-setting weekend for the James Bond franchise, and that is huge. It actually and also fed into the fact that this movie has now made over $500 million worldwide in just over 2 weeks. That, my friends, is impressive.
That is pretty impressive.
And now that we are a little far removed from that, me and Mr. Daniel Stoll have seen it.
I have not.
You have not seen it?
I do want to see it.
Okay, and so, Daniel, briefly, any thoughts on this particular movie?
I thought it was really good. I haven't seen a lot of Bond movies, but I really enjoyed this one. I thought it was not cheesy in what I would expect a typical Bond movie to be. So I've seen all the Daniel Craig Bonds, and I've seen a couple of the Pierce Brosnan movies. So, but it was a lot different than a normal Bond, and I thought it was really, really good. So,
well, I could have a whole podcast just on this particular movie because, you know, at first I thought it was universal love, and then I found out there's those naysayers out there, and I've talked to said naysayers, and I just don't get their point. But I thought this was a great movie. I think this was an excellent movie, actually. I think this is taking Bond into a new era where you're going to see that pattern, that mold being broken. This movie was a lot more personal. You actually get into a little bit of Bond's backstory. But really, the core of the movie is Bond's connection to MI6, and more particularly M. But she, as the older lady M, she really embodies MI6 as a whole. So the movie really is about the relationship between Bond and that agency and her as a person. And you get to kind of see it unfold and evolve, and you get Javier Bardem, the guy, awesome actor, most known for No Country for Old Men. He comes in and just every scene just like snatches it away from Daniel Craig and says, "We get to fight over this." It's awesome. But anyway, check it out, folks. It was great. It was great. And if you're not one of those twihards out there, you should totally check it out next weekend. So, moving on to number two, Wreck-It Ralph, holding pretty solid, just 33 solid million. That's pretty solid. That's pretty good for a second weekend.
That's good.
Yeah.
Especially for that type of movie.
I know. I was kind of shocked.
You wouldn't expect something like that to stay up top, well, in the top five for that long.
No. It only lost about 30%, which is pretty solid. But if Flight returns for number three, $14.7 million. That's about expected. Argo at number four with $6.7 million. And that's 5 weeks in, so still pretty solid. And number five, we all thought it was going away. We thought it could be. It was going down.
No way.
We thought, but Taken 2 is still holding on for $4 million. It outclassed Cloud Atlas by about $1.5 million. So, darn you, Liam Neeson.
He's Jedi mind tricking people.
Oh,
I know he
gosh.
Is.
He's just taking their minds.
He's taking their money.
Oh. All right, folks, and that wraps out our top five. So we're going to go ahead and move into our little news section and see what is going on this week and what are we excited about. All right, everybody. News items. Start with Mr. Bam over here.
All right. For my news item this week, for those of you that love playing MMOs, for those of you that don't know, that's massive multiplayer online games. And those of you that love Star Wars, well, you're in luck because before, to play Star Wars the Old Republic, you had to pay monthly to play it. But now, since yesterday, it has become free to play. So,
oh snap!
I don't know any specifics on what kind of restrictions it'll put, if you'll be able to spend money to get stuff on the game or not. But I know that it is free to play, possibly some payment if you want very special items or anything. So it's a very, very big thing going on with that MMO.
All right, Daniel Stoll.
Mine's going to be pretty quick. My news item is the new Lincoln movie is come out today, actually.
So Bama's buzz item from a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Right, and it's gotten a lot of good reviews. There have been a couple of naysayers out there, but for the most part, it's got a couple good reviews. It's got a 91% on Rotten Tomatoes right now. So, obviously, there's a lot of good things being said about Daniel Day-Lewis and his acting in it. So, that came out.
You mean the Daniel Day-Lewis? He is not just Daniel Day-Lewis. This is the man who breathes Oscar awards. I mean, he practically throws them out. I know he's only gotten two, but he's going to get... He's at number three.
He lives his characters.
He does live his characters. I'm pretty excited to see that. I'm actually going to catch up with my family over Thanksgiving break, so it's pretty exciting. All right, for my news item... Actually, Jesse, we'll go ahead and with yours first.
My news item, a little bit of nostalgia for me here. They are making a sequel to Boy Meets World. It's going to be called Girl Meets World.
Oh, my gosh.
And supposedly it's going to be released on the Disney Channel, and with some of the old characters coming back as parents of the new main character. Hmm. So I'm pretty hopeful about this. I hope they don't find a way to screw it up, and that it kind of stays true to the original show.
Oh, my gosh. You have no idea how much I want to watch this show. I think when I heard about this, I was like, I want this to be true. So that was like my favorite sitcom growing up. And just to kind of get to see and to step back in the lives of those characters like 20 years down the road, even if they're not the main characters, quote unquote, mm-hmm. just to kind of be reintroduced into that world mm-hmm. of Sean and Topanga and Corey and all them. Ugh, it's awesome. So, my news item. There was a trailer this week for World War Z that came out. And I might add that this trailer looked kind of ridiculous. For those of you who don't know, this movie had some severe problems during production. And so it's very interesting to see this trailer actually come out. There was lots of problems. They had people, some writers quit, some directors leave. So it looks like a mess. But this trailer looks kind of cool. I mean, kind of ridiculous, but kind of cool. We are introduced into a world starring Brad Pitt, where he is going to record the zombie apocalypse. At some point during the story, he gets tasked with recording. Which, by the way, for those of you who read the book, World War Z, this book is, from what I read and what I know, is pretty much unfilmable. From what they're saying, because of the way it's written and what it does. So for the fact that they're adapting this is going to be interesting, because it's more of a history-type book, correct?
I've actually read the book, and I would say that the book as a movie, probably not really doable in a lot of ways. So like I kind of understand like why they went with like the hyper-zombies or whatever. They look totally ridiculous, by the way. Like they're like a giant, at one point during the show, there's like a giant tsunami of zombies.
Yes.
But I think as like a mini-series or something, World War Z would make... It'd be very phenomenal. It'd be very good. Yeah.
Well, I'm hopeful. I really am, because I love Brad Pitt, and I love seeing zombie stuff. But you're right. There's a point in this where like zombies were like climbing on top of each other to get on top of a building. I was like, what? It's like a tidal wave of zombies. I was like, is that possible? But I'm all about hyper zombies too. I'm a big fan of the fast zombies. But like I said, these look maybe a little over the top. But anyway, check out the trailer. It's been online for a few days now. Give it a shot and see what you think. All right. We're going to move into our review of the week. Our review this week is Battle Royale. It is a Japanese film made in the year 2000. In the future, the Japanese government captures a class of ninth grade students and forces them to kill each other under the Revolutionary Battle Royale Act. Okay, folks, you want to know how this movie works. You take a bunch of adolescents, teenagers, and you throw them in an arena, and you make them kill each other, and the person who wins gets out alive. Vaguely familiar from anybody?
There might be a book series on something like this.
It wouldn't be like...
Maybe even another movie?
A movie definitely not having to do with Hungry Hungry Hippos or anything like that.
Surviving the Game? Is that it? No, that's a different game.
Oh,
oh,
I lost.
Hey, I lost the game too.
Oh, Hunger Games! Oh, yeah. Okay. The base premise for this movie is... Shockingly, almost exactly like The Hunger Games. The fact that it was down to high schoolers and it was used by the government to control the youth as a fear tactic. Another similar tactic used in The Hunger Games against the districts. However, this movie was made in 2000, which bring some interesting speculation of whether or not Stephanie Collins can see this on her own, or if she might have drawn a little bit of inspiration here. But the base of the concept of the movie is that plot. There's really not a whole lot of plot to speak of, other than once the government drops them in, they just kill each other. And let's go ahead and get going. Daniel, what did you think about this movie?
Well, I need to go ahead and say that I've not seen a lot of foreign films, which this is a foreign film, and it's all in Japanese, and you have to watch it with subtitles and stuff like that. I needed to preface it with, I'm not a huge fan of subtitles, so I've always struggled with reading the subtitles and trying to watch what's going on the screen. I feel like the subtitles create a distraction, so I want to preface it with that. I struggle with foreign movies for that reason. However, when the movie began, I was extremely excited and very, very interested in this movie. However, as the movie progressed, I found myself not really enjoying it as well as I thought I would have when the movie began. So there was definitely a lot of cool things they did with this movie. I thought they had a really good premise and they could have done a lot with it, but I feel like they kind of just dropped the ball in the end and didn't really do all that they could have done with it. All
right, Bama, what do you think?
I have to piggyback with Stahl on this one, because at the beginning of the movie, it's pretty serious all throughout the first half of it, you know, showing how these kids are disrespectful to the adults of the society, and then, you know, showing them going on supposedly a class field trip, and then them ending up...
Oh, it's a field trip, all
right. It's definitely a crazy field trip, in fact. But them ending up on this deserted island, them getting their bags full of weapons and things to survive on. But then shortly after that, it kind of lost its seriousness. I mean, it did have some funnier parts at the beginning, you know, just some little funny things that happened between the teacher and the students. But then it just seemed like it wasn't as serious. It didn't hold its seriousness level, and it was a little more cheesy and funny throughout to the end.
Well, it's definitely that drill sergeant teacher guy was a big part of that, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, the movie was serious, and then this guy comes in and just is absolutely ridiculous. And, like, so there's, like, no way. And this is the commander of their army, by the way, of the whole operation. He's, like, this ridiculous, funny, over-the-top bad guy.
He was pretty consistent. I will say that. He was very consistent with his character.
I mean, he was consistent in being over-the-top, but I think as far as, like, it was harder. That guy made it the whole movie a lot harder to take serious. But Jesse, what were your initial thoughts?
Love this movie. I'll just start with that. Like, I know this may not be a movie for everyone to watch. I will say that if you're a really big fan of Japanese culture and you're a fan of anime, this movie will probably make more sense to you with some of the Japanese humor and stuff. You know, I come into seeing the movie multiple times. I kind of come out of this movie. You know, the main character in this movie is named Shua. I think I'm pronouncing that maybe incorrectly. It's S-H-U-Y-A or something like that.
Shuya.
Okay. His name's Shuya. You're basically, you know, following... You're pretty much focusing on him and, like, his quote-unquote girlfriend or whatever she is throughout the movie, primarily. But it's also the story of, like, you know, their class and, you know, what they do throughout this whole situation. You know, and I kind of view this as kind of like a commentary on, like, modern Japanese society and stuff. And, like, I know it's really can get kind of goofy at times, but I really like this movie. And I actually like what it has to say.
I'll go ahead and say this. I don't understand a lot about Japanese culture, so maybe there are some things that I'm just not getting because I'm not involved in that culture, and there's some cultural references that I'm not really understanding. So that could be a big part.
Well, for instance, like, why the guy's pants was down when he hung them. I'm pretty sure that's a cultural thing that I am over missing. That has to be. This guy has a flashback in the movie where his dad killed him. The main character, Shuya, was always in this flashback of how his dad hanged himself.
But
this kid had his dad, his pants were dropped when he did it. So we're sitting in the room and like almost everyone starts laughing because it's crazy. But after looking into it, that's totally a cultural thing for them.
Yeah. Yeah, and not only that, there's a suicide note that his dad writes. And it's actually hanging from himself. This is actually hanging from himself, like, when he's hanging on toilet paper. It's kind of a little goofy, but it's hanging there, and it has suffered into his son. And it's constantly referenced back to you throughout the movie. It'll have, like, little titles that come up to say stuff like, you can keep going, you can do this. I know you can do this, son. And, like, it'll have, like, subtitles that pop up on the screen between scenes that reference back to that original note whenever something throughout the movie is happening, so...
I noticed that quite a bit through this, that there would be some subtitles that would pop up that would be referencing something that happened, like, maybe just a few minutes before. Like, there was a conversation he was having with someone, and then maybe, like, 10 minutes down into the movie, it would come back up again, because something would happen with, like, one time was they were talking about what girl were they interested in their class, and then somehow that would be brought back up, like, maybe she died or something, and then it was brought back up, just kind of like a, just someone, you know, replaying something through their mind. That's kind of what I thought that was.
You know, I'm kind of middle of the road on this one. I there's a lot of things I do like about this movie. It's a lot of fun, and some of the kills these people are just absolutely ridiculous. Like I do find it hilarious, a lot of it. I'm not quite sure exactly what in the context of the Japanese culture what the commentary is, but I do, it definitely has to do with that fear of the youth uprising against the old, new generations rising against the old. And this is, hey, here's how we're going to attempt to control that. You know, you can't, as a piece of art, you just can't take this movie seriously. I don't think it's designed to do that, but I think it is a good piece of fun, entertaining movie. And I think there are some interesting things to read into in this movie. But overall, I'm kind of middle of the road. I wasn't impressed, but I wasn't let down either. Because I had a good time. I had a great time, and I did think that the movie did have some depth to it, but overall, I didn't walk away feeling impressed by anything in it either.
Well, see, when I first started watching, I thought the whole main point of the film was going to be how these kids go throughout this ordeal that they've been put through, but then in the end, you sort of feel like it's a love story and not really about all the things that are going on the island. That's just part of what's happening that creates the two, what are their names? Shuya and what's her name?
Noriko.
Noriko. It just seems like this is a plot device to get them two together so that they can fall in love with each other.
Well, and I think this is one of those stories, though, where it has multiple meanings. I mean, it is a love story, but I think there is totally this, this commentary about protecting the youth uprising. And I think it is still about these kids working through this together, because they also have their third companion they run into about halfway through the movie that ends up being this, like, B-A-M-O-F person. And
what was that again?
Can you do that again?
He's a Mo-F.
B-A-M-O-F.
He's a B-A-M-O-F. So, yeah, and so you meet him, and you get to see his character evolves, too. So I think you're right. I think it is a little misleading. However, I think it goes both ways, because in a way, this whole thing did bring it together, but you also showed what it took these other characters to help them get to that point.
Yeah, I guess plot device wasn't the word I was looking for. It was more of a, I felt like they were going to, when I first watched, I felt they were going to focus more on the government and
putting
the kids in, and then it turned out, well, no, that's not all of the focus. We're actually going to focus on their relationship and how they kind of fall in love. Yeah. And then when you meet the other guy, he actually, when he tells his story, he talks about how he was
sad
with this girl.
I know.
And how he actually played the game before, and they
threw him back in.
And they threw him back in to mix things up with this game and stuff like that. And when he tells his story, you find out that he had a love story also while he was on this island. And so I felt like they kind of shifted. I felt like they kind of shifted. So. Yeah.
Okay, let's go ahead and talk about more specifics. Like, what about these kids and what about these kills in this movie? How did you guys think that worked? Because there was some pretty awesome stuff going down in this movie.
Oh, man.
Just about any kid with any kind of projectile, like any kind of gun. There was even a crossbow, which I thought was awesome.
I think it was floating around, too. Like, at first this person had it, and then this person had it.
It was like three different people had that crossbow. But, I mean, it was like anybody with any type of gun was terrible at shooting.
I think we should tell you guys that when they arrived at the island, they had to watch this video that told them how they were supposed to.
Best instruction video ever.
That was amazing.
It quote unquote told them how to
so
play the game.
So you take a bags and you'll shoot each other.
So
pretty Japanese girl making an announcement for him. That was very racist, by the way. We here at BCD do not enforce racism.
So anyway, when they get there, they find out that they all are giving a supply kit, basically a bag full of food and water and a weapon. Well, you find out that each player or kid, however you want to call them, has a different weapon. Some people have awesome weapons. Like, I think some people have automatic weapons and guns. other people, like Shuya, have binoculars or...
And you had that one girl with the taser.
Or a taser or things like that. So the
taser
weapons were,
can be useful.
Yeah, but not for that one girl who was stupid enough to hand it over.
True.
Oh, my gosh.
So you have people with different weapons. Like, one of them was the binoculars. I think that was Shuya's weapon. And so, obviously, he can't do anything with that. And a potlid. Potlid was his weapon, too. The girl's weapon was binoculars. Binoculars. Yeah.
Probably the worst weapon was, like, a paper fan.
Yeah, paper fan.
This is a crazy guy.
You can't do anything with it.
And it was really funny when you see these people mount up after they all get announced. Like, there's like some of these kids who like charge in there and they're like, bam, we're going to take this thing by the world. And you have other people who are like scared. And there was actually, at one point, by the way, they're all wearing collars. And if they either step out of line or they lose when the timer runs up, collars explode, they die. So
yeah, they have a 3-day period to kill each other. And have one person be the winner.
So this doesn't sound, this doesn't sound vaguely familiar to a movie that might have come out, I don't know, maybe last March. Hopefully this is a totally fresh idea. But what was it?
I will say, okay, this movie was released in 2000. The first book of Hunger Games was published in 2008.
Ooh.
So, who knows?
Significant amount of time before Hunger Games was
pretty
conceived, maybe.
So I don't know, like some of the kills, you had that one, there was like this one kid who they make jokes about it. They're like, dude, there's just one kid who's crazy enough to sign himself up for this thing. And this kid's like running, just killing everybody.
I love that kid. He just runs at people, flailing his arms and holding down a trigger and shooting at everyone. His aim is terrible.
Oh, absolutely terrible.
But see, the thing about him is, like, when he got that gun, he was the one that had the paper fan to begin with.
Yeah.
But there was, like, what, 5 or 6 other kids that were teaming up together and, like, taking other people's stuff and killing them off. He does, like, this crazy awesome move, grabs the gun from this one guy, just sweeps around, kills the other kids, and then turns on the guy he took the gun from and kills him. I mean, close range for that guy, but he somehow just sprays and prays and kills all the other ones with one sweep, and then he kills that guy. And then for the rest of the movie, he's, like, just flailing this SMG
around.
He's
picking up all the weapons from everyone he kills and stuff like that. Yeah,
but he's terrible.
No, he's absolutely terrible.
It's like, he does something epic and amazing at the beginning, but then he's just awful.
Well, it's like when he has a face-up. Well, we'll get into that in the spoiler section, actually. There's a face-up he has at the end, which
that was
really cool. But there's a scene. There's also this crazy girl who goes and, like, she, like, steals this taser from this girl because there's this poor, helpless girl with a taser, and she's like, other girl comes in. She's like, oh, I always liked you, because she's sweet and naive. This girl totally takes her taser and then kills her with her big, sharp scythe-looking thing.
It's called a comma.
Comma, okay. Comma. He kills her with a comma. And this girl is, like, doing the same thing. Everyone's just kind of, like, winning their trust temporarily just long enough to kill them and takes their weapons. And eventually she has a showdown with this crazy gun dude. I don't remember him. there was that scene where there's, like these... There's this guy who likes this girl, and he sees the girl, and he's, like, trying to talk to her, and she just pops him because she's scared, okay? And he's bleeding out. He's like, run, and she's like, why? Because they're going to hear your gunshots come and kill you. And then at that moment, bam, someone kills her, and then that guy dies. And then someone comes and kills the girl who just killed the other two. And it was like...
Okay, if you guys are getting confused, we don't know all the names of the characters. So that's why we're referencing them as girl and guy. Because we don't know all their names because we're not told the names until after they die.
Yeah, most of them you don't find out until after that. They're actually labeled as girl number one, girl number two. Now, they do have a name attached, but like it's very rare.
It's very brief for most of the characters. And you hear their name maybe one time.
Maybe
and there's twice. Like,
you might sometimes you don't even hear them. The name just pops up on the subtitles.
And just about there's about 40 students in 40, this game.
42
students in this game. And let's just say most of them die by the end of the movie.
Yeah.
42, that's a nice round number.
It's more than in the Hunger Games.
It's a lot more than in the Hunger Games.
And you see them all die.
Yes.
Of the deaths, you see all of them.
You see every single death.
You do. And they actually label it on the screen when they die. And what was kind of interesting, and also kind of random, at first I didn't understand what was going on, was some of these characters who are like bigger players-ish, like you get their last thought before they die. Mm-hmm. Like, it'll pop up on the screen. And I didn't understand what was going on at first. Like, they would die, and it would, like, go to texts. I was like, what? Why is there text on the screen? And then you would read, oh. And then after about the third time, I was like, oh, this is their last thought before they die.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's actually kind of cool. So you did get a little bit more, a little bit of the character. Now, they were already dead, but you did get a little character development from each of them. Not all of them, just some of the bigger-ish players.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting. Do we have anything else we want to talk about before we move into the spoiler section? Talk about the crazy game-maker-like character.
Just how many love interests and love triangles and squares and just so many people in love with so many other people in this. It was so hard to keep up with.
Well, there's at one point.
She's interested in this guy. This guy's interested in her and this and that. And it's just like.
It was just, like a high school drama.
Yes, it was. And, I mean, I kind of understand it from that point, you know, high school kids, you know, it's always going to be crazy like that. But it's like, can we not just come up with one person liking one person instead of just everyone liking everyone?
Bama, that just wouldn't be realistic.
I know.
I'm just going to say, like, I think, I mean, that's obviously intentional. I mean, if you think back to your high school days, obviously there's like, you know, I like this person likes me, and so on and so forth. But, you know, I mean, I can't speak this as 100% accurate, but I'm pretty sure within, like, Japanese culture, you know, for girls, it's, like, a big deal, you know, to be cute and to, like, have guys like them and stuff. And, you know, that's kind of, like, something that's held up in their culture, like, you know, being attractive. If you look at, like, Japanese anime and stuff, like, you know, you see a lot of animes where, you know, there's a guy, like, with, like, a bajillion different love interests, or there's a girl with, like, 10 different love interests, you know, and I think that's reflected in modern Japanese culture somewhat amongst their youth, but...
Yeah, I've seen that in other Japanese type films and shows.
It was also I was sitting next to someone who actually thought that the main characters killed themselves in the first 10 minutes because there was another couple that actually jumped off a cliff in the first 10 minutes of the movie, and they were like, "Wait, I thought they were the main characters." No, you're mixing them up. It's not the main. They just look like the main people anyway.
So they all are wearing school uniforms.
Okay, and let's clarify again. BCD does not endorse any form of racism. This is not what we were saying. They're all wearing school uniforms with similar hair. Most of them have similar haircuts, guys and girls. Girls have girl haircuts, and guys have guys' haircuts. There's some variety, but it is incredibly hard to tell them apart, especially initially before they start getting torn up and stuff.
I'm just gonna say I didn't have a problem distinguishing characters.
I did not. However, some viewers did have problems with that. Anyway, moving on to the spoilers.
Spoiler alert!
What the crap was up with this dude?
Kito, what is his name? Kito?
Is it Kito?
I can't remember his name.
Kyanto Sensei.
The teacher. He sets him all in the games, and this guy's ridiculous the whole movie. What's interesting, though, is towards the end of the games, apparently he picks a girl that is his favorite, and he wants her to win. So he, like, shows up midway through towards the end of the movie and helps her out.
It was so creepy.
It was so creepy.
It's like raining outside. she's looking for the main guy because they're in love with each other and whatever. And she's like just running out nowhere. She almost gets killed by one of the crazy girls. And then she gets scared off because this guy is just appears like from nowhere. And he's just holding this little plastic umbrella. He's just like, "Hey, what's up? Here's an umbrella. Don't get a cold." And walks away.
I don't know. This is the guy who's like laughing at everyone else's death and stuff.
And he even comments because he does like 4 times a day. He, you know, updates everybody on who's been killed. There's danger areas where if they are in those areas during a certain time, their collar will explode. Mm-hmm. So as he's doing these, he's also commenting on how well he thinks they're doing. So it's like if like 2 or 3 people get killed in between one of these times that he's talking to him, he's just like, "Come on, guys, you can do better than this." It's just like, what is wrong with this guy?
Okay. I think it's important to note that this guy, he was actually their teacher several years ago.
Yeah, so he actually knows all of them.
He knows all of them.
Seventh grade, I think.
On some sort of personal level. For some of them, anyway.
Well, yeah, he knows a lot of them.
When he actually says that he specifically chose them, too.
Yeah, he knows a lot of them, and he's their teacher, and he's coming back, and I think it's interesting to note like that... You know, in a lot of ways, he's kind of refreshing his teacher role as the game maker, and he's trying to teach them about life in a kind of a twisted, messed up way.
By killing all of them and teaching them about life. So, yeah, you get to the end of the movie, and this guy just sits in the base and waits for the winner to show up, and then there's this big, like, face-off between the main characters, the trio, and then him, and he, like, goes on, he has this painting he painted of all these dead children. It's like this giant painting of an island with... all these people being dismembered and crap, and it's really kind of disturbing.
Yeah.
And he goes off, and he's like, "But I picked you." He talks to Noriko and says, "I think you were the best. I chose you. I want you to win." And he even says, "Just shoot me now, and it'll all be over." And she doesn't do it. But then there's at one point, this other guy comes in and starts to shoot him up, and he pulls out his gun and squirts. It's a water gun.
It's so funny.
But
then we find out later he actually does have a real gun.
Yeah, a real gun. And what's really interesting is he finds out that his kids don't like him.
Oh, yeah.
And you feel like, at the end of this movie, I actually felt like the whole thing was set off by the fact that his kids don't like him, because he gets a phone call. And by the way, how many times does this guy die? He gets, like, lit up.
He gets shot quite
like, a bit. Like, he gets lit up, falls down, gets up, lit up, falls down, and then they're like, oh, he's dead. His phone rings, and he gets back up, and, like, no, like nothing happened. Walks back over to the chair and talks, and it's like, I think it's his son, I think.
Daughter. I thought it was daughter.
Daughter, not correct. And they hate him. So I get the feeling that at the end of this movie, like, the whole reason he did this was because he was really didn't like his family.
Yeah, I really didn't understand that. He gets shot, like, 5 or 6 times right in the chest.
Well, that's before he falls down the first time.
And he's clearly dead. Like, he is dead. And then his phone rings, and he gets up. Like, I really don't understand that point. Like, he was dead. There was no...
I mean, it was funny.
Logical reason for him to be alive, so I don't understand really why.
It does fit into this over the top tone that was laid down. Yeah. So
he dies after he gets off the phone. He throws the phone and then
shoots
he pulls
it.
Out
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. He pulls out the real gun he's got, he throws it and then shoots that and then he dies.
Yeah, he gets off the phone and he's mad. He throws the phone down, he shoots, and he looks at the characters and gives them a one liner. And then falls over, and like his head falls back, and he dies.
Can I just say the deaths in this movie were ridiculous? They were talking, all of a sudden their necks were just bobbed back, and like, I guess they're dead. It's like not even like a subtle thing. It's like, no, they just died instantly. You had the main characters; they all got out. There's 3 of them, and except for the epic guy who we don't mention his name yet, Kawada was the epic guy we talked about earlier, who had actually been through the whole thing once before.
Or as I like to call him, headband guy.
Headband guy. He had this epic headband, and he was awesome. He was like that Japanese anti-hero type with smoking the cigarettes, he had the deep voice, and he was epic at everything he did.
But he was very smart.
Very smart.
Yeah, his dad was a doctor.
He had a fisherman.
That's
right.
he was basically that character that knows everything and can get out
Which
of
for those of
situation.
You who watch anime, this is totally a staple of anime, series. There's always that one character who does that.
Yeah.
The awesome, ridiculous guy who just knows everything. He doesn't end up making it at the end because he dies to the love of Noriko.
He dies on the boat.
Shuya, that their love may live on. Oh, wait. Sorry, they go back to the real world, and that's the end of the movie.
They're fugitives in their own...
Yes,
they're framed for murder.
They're framed for murder, for murdering all these kids.
Well,
and
I would probably say for the game master killing him.
Yeah.
Probably
I think that was what was in trouble for, yes.
And so they actually make it back to the Japan, and they are you see them running through, like, the cities and stuff, trying to hide from police and things like that. So basically they're going to go on with life together with one another, trying to survive, basically.
And the last thing they say is run. Always run. And that's the end of the movie. There was a lot of very Japanese-esque, and a lot of the animes and other Japanese movies, and you have there are various messages they're trying to get across in the movie, and it's at one point, it's the love thing. At one point, it's the you're against the man thing. And then at the end, it's just at the end of the day, run and fight another day type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it definitely felt like a very Japanese movie, being from Japan. There's lots of those themes that you can see recurring in other movies. But overall, you know, it was a weird movie.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
All right, I think we're about done with spoilers. Not a whole lot to spoil on this one other than the game maker. Oh, can I just say that was awesome when those computer hackers hacked the computers? Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. These, like 3 of the kids figured out how to hack the computers, the military-grade computers somehow. And, like, these guys just go crazy in the base. And they're all, like, acting like the world's about to end in the base.
But they basically become terrorists in this thing.
Well, the one kid here, the hacker, his uncle actually is a terrorist, and it's revealed that, like, my uncle taught me all this stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
They
make a bomb.
Yeah, let's get kerosene, fertilizer, and all this other stuff to make a bomb.
Well, because they were going to shut down the system, and they were going to blow up the base. Yeah. They were not going to go down. They were not going to be put down by the man.
They actually figure out how to disable the
collars.
The collars, which is why Shuya
and Noriko
are able to get off both together.
Yeah.
Because they are able to take off the collar, and they're both able to get off Had that not happened, only one person would have been able to survive.
And that
so.
Fight, that and then what happens is, and I called it right before going out about you guys. I was like, dude, these guys are totally going to die. They're going to hack it successfully. They're going to get in their car to take off, and they're all going to die. And they all die because that one crazy dude with the machine gun showed up and shot them all.
Crazy hair.
Crazy hair guy. Yeah, okay. So there's this fight, okay? There's this big giant explosion, and it blinds him, apparently.
Yeah.
he looked pretty brutal after that because it's like, I mean, his hair's kind of blown back, and his eyes are like pure white, and he's got like what looks to be
blood, dried up blood,
but it's like almost black. It's so dark, and it's just like coming down all the way to his chin. He looks kind of scary. I'm not going to lie. He looked a little scarier at them. I guess he was kind of the evil person within the game.
Because he was the guy crazy enough to sign up for that stuff, man.
True.
Yeah. So anyway, awesome show. Right before we wrap up, awesome shootout between him and Headband Guy, okay? It was like this epic, very Japanese-y, like, music playing. Like, he just runs out of the smoke.
Shotgun versus SMG.
And then he, like, fires that. They both fire pretty mindlessly at each other. Like, it's like they don't have any ammo. Which, by the way, no one in this gun, in this movie, has to reload ever.
No, that's not true.
No, he did. Crazy hair guy
had to reload one time.
I'm sorry. One time on screen. And it was ridiculous because the guy, like, he takes his machine gun out, and the guy shoots him, and he's got a bulletproof vest on. He just smiles.
He's like, yeah, well, he thought he had left. He's like, I got away. Then he jumps down from a roof and cuts his head off with his sword.
Doesn't he check that guy's head into a building?
Yeah, with a grenade in his
mouth. Oh, yeah. Okay, people, so if there's one thing to walk away from this movie, remember, grenades inside decapitated heads of Japanese children. Okay? Just remember. So, on that note, let's go ahead and give it a grade. Mr. Bama, what is your grade for the week?
Okay, I'm actually going to give this two grades, and I'm going to tell you why. The first grade is going to be for people who enjoy Japanese culture stuff, anime, and things of the like. The second one will be for your average American viewer of movies and stuff. So I just wanted to go ahead and explain that so that no one's confused. First score will be a B. Now, like I said, I mean, it kind of changes tones a little bit through the middle of this, you know, a little more serious with some funny, cheesy things going on, but then it just kind of loses that seriousness and adds a little more high school drama stuff and some more cheesy goodness with everyone. And the second score for your average American viewer, I'm actually going to give this a C+. For the very same reasons. And because, I mean, like Daniel was saying, he's not very well versed in Japanese culture or things of the like. So you're probably not going to get some of the humorous stuff in this. So I really don't think that most people would like it, but if you are a fan of Japanese culture and movies, anime, and whatever, you will like this movie.
Right, Daniel, great for the movie.
All right, I'm going to be a little bit harsh on it. I think that if you like Japanese culture and you're into anime and things like that, you'll probably really enjoy this movie. However, if you don't, I feel like you're going to have a hard time enjoying this. Unless you're just really into movies in general. So I'm going to be kind of harsh. I think it kind of misleads you at the beginning. I think there's a lot of things that it changes throughout the middle of it. So I'm also going to give it a C. So that's going to be my grade.
All right. Jesse.
This is my personal grade right here. I'm going to give this movie an A. And here's why. Like I said, I love this movie. My taste may not necessarily be your tastes. But I love over-the-top, ridiculous action movies. You know, and I actually feel like this movie has a lot going on. Like, we didn't even touch on, like, what I think of, like, there's a lot of other things we didn't even touch on, like, trust. Like, there's a lot of characters that have issues with trust, like, how do you know you can trust? What's the meaning and purpose of life? What's the meaning of it all when everything goes to crap? There's just a couple of, like, major themes that we didn't get to touch on. And I think there's a lot of other stuff going on in here, like, and, like, I think the more I watch this movie, the more I'll get out of it. So, but I understand for most people, they may not be their thing. And, like, definitely, the cultural differences plus the fact it's the subtitles. I think for most people, they probably, you know, probably be somewhere between, like, a B to, like, a C+.
Yeah, I think I agree with Jesse, too. And it's all cool. These are our own personal grades. So if we love it, why the crap not give it an A? This is a tough one for me because there were moments when I loved this movie. There was moments when I didn't like this movie. So I'm kind of torn. I do want to give it a C. I do want to give it a B. So where does that fall somewhere in the spectrum?
B minus, C plus.
It's a BCD, man.
BCD.
I'll be nice. I'll give it a B minus. I was torn. This movie has a lot going on. I think Jesse's right on par with all these like underlying themes. There's a lot of good stuff to look at here. A lot of good things to think about. But I also think this movie has some pretty crappy production value. Let's be honest here. I think it's but it's acceptable. I'm not complaining. A movie was on a limited budget. That's fine.
For a year 2000 movie, not bad.
It wasn't bad. I mean, the movie was really fun. I had a great time with it. In that case, you know, it gets like an A for fun value. But I at the same time, I just feel like there's a lot of inconsistencies in this movie as far as like tone. In terms of, there's a lot of things because I'm not in the Japanese culture. It's harder for me to critique. So I'm limited myself there. But I think this movie does have a lot to offer. So I would say go ahead and give it a B minus. I liked it. You know, I wouldn't recommend this to everybody, but I would also say if you got some free time and you just love to watch movies and you're looking for something on Netflix, yeah, go ahead and queue it up, give it a watch. But I also would say no rush. It's not something you need to go out and see right away. But I do say if you're a big movie lover, give it a shot sometime. All right, we're going to go ahead and move into the buzz section of our podcast. Mama, what has got you just volcano? It's like this movie, Volcano Erupting.
Why is that like that?
Yeah, there was a volcanic island. Come on.
Nowhere did a volcano erupt.
Listen.
Did they ever mention that was a volcano island?
At the end of the movie, they're driving away, and you can see smoke erupting from the top of the volcano on the mountain. In this Japanese, okay. There are lots of volcanic islands.
That does not count.
Whatever.
Okay, Maybe they just burnt the base down, and that's what you're seeing.
Who cares?
Okay. Anyway, so, Bama, what has got you fired up like flame swordsman fired up here?
Well, nothing related in the movie nerd culture thing. Really, the upcoming holiday, Thanksgiving. I get to go back home after being out here in Oklahoma City for a few months working. Finally get to go back home. Get to have some nice, good Southern home cooking. Get to see my family, some friends from back home. And that's really the only thing I'm really excited about.
Jesse, what are you excited about this week?
I'm excited about a lot of stuff. I'm actually pretty excited right now about League of Legends. They just went into Season 3. I don't know whether... I know Bama plays League of Legends sometimes. I'm a pretty big fan of the game. It's the most popular online game. Most popular video game in the world, actually.
Yeah.
And they just launched Season 3, so they're going to be making a whole bunch of new updates and hopefully releasing a new map this season. That would be really awesome. They already have like an updated 3v3 map. So I'm really pumped about that, and I'm sure if our listeners out there are within the nerd subculture or are gamers, they've probably at least heard of League of Legends if they don't play themselves. So I'm excited for you guys, and I'm excited for me, and hopefully I'll meet you on there, and I'll poon your face. So.
All right, for my news item, I'm just going to be honest. I'm not excited about really particularly anything. However, I will go ahead and go into the future, but into the future. I'm really excited about this Hobbit movie that's coming out. It's about a month away, but I'm really super excited about it, and there's a lot of new things that are kind of being said. Not on the on board yet with the whole three-part movie thing, but...
You don't like being milked like you're a cow by the studios? Well,
I don't know if I've ever been milked, so... But I don't know about that, Caleb, but...
Well...
But I will say that I'm not 100% behind them on the three-parter of The Hobbit, but I am excited for it. I think there's going to be a lot of awesome things that happen. I know that they're bringing back characters like Legolas and Aragorn to... Even though they're not actually
Aragorn's
in the
Aragorn's going to be in this now?
I
didn't know he was coming back.
He may make a cameo.
Oh, man.
That's what I thought. I don't know. I thought he was making a cameo. I don't know if he's actually going to be, like, super involved. I know that... I'm pretty sure that Legolas
I know Legolas is in
there. Because they go to Mirkwood.
Yeah, they go to Mirkwood. Galadriel's in there.
Yeah.
Saruman pops back up. Yeah, a lot of those old
so
characters.
So I know that's kind of way out. It didn't come out for a while, but that is something that I've been excited about for the past... Ever since it was announced, I've been excited about it, and I'm continually more getting excited about it the closer it gets. So
you know why I want to see this movie? The Singing Dwarves.
As long as they don't sing anything about frickin' Isengard, we're gonna be good to go.
But no, but I mean that's epic song. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I wish I had a group of guys that in that vocal range that could do that.
I just want to like get the soundtrack from it and just listen to Singing Doors.
Oh yeah.
I mean that was something we missed out on in Lord of the Rings that they never really did in the books either. Like he didn't get into the singing as much as in The Hobbit with these doors. So yes, I'm excited about that. What am I excited about? Well, I have two things I'm going to talk about. One of them was actually more of a news item that we need to talk about. Maki Mark is joining Transformers 4.
Mark Wahlberg.
Marky Mark Wahlberg is joining Transformers 4. And I hope to God Ben Friend out there is listening somewhere because he'd find it funny. But so he's doing Transformers 4 with Michael Bay. Not really excited about this at all because I think Transformers is terrible. But I thought it'd be worth marking that the rapper formerly known as Marky Mark with the younger brother Donnie Wahlberg, he's going to be in the movie. So, second thing I am pumped about. Like Bama, I've got Thanksgiving break coming up. And I was reading the Game of Thrones book series over the summer, A Song of Ice and Fire. Watched the first two seasons in like a week. Amazing. Freaking love it. We talked about it before on this podcast. But I'm excited because I started book three, but then because of classwork and various other commitments, I just haven't had time to get to it. But I have reserved my Thanksgiving break and my flight to out of Dodge to read this book. And it's over 1,000 pages. And I'm freaking excited to get into it. And I want to get to see the adventures of Westeros. For those of you out there who haven't watched Game of Thrones or read anything about it, totally give it a pick. It's one of HBO's golden shows right now. I absolutely love it. Tyrion's my man. And Jaime Lannister's a beast. So, on that note, check out Game of Thrones. I am super stoked to be able to read into the third book, which is they're producing season three right now. So I'm trying to get ahead of the series a little bit because I'm just dying to know what's going to happen next. For those of you who don't know, March 31st this year, you can pop back in and get some more Game of Thrones. So that is all I've got pumped up about this weekend. Let's go ahead and talk about the movies that are coming out in the theater this weekend. Two things. Lincoln, as Stoll mentioned, Lincoln is coming out with the master actor Daniel Day-Lewis. He's going to come out and just blow us all away for one. But the second one, this is the one that I think we're all pretty stoked about, guys. I mean, Bama, you look so excited. This is the thought of the Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn, Part 2. You get to see this movie. You get to see the end of this Edward Jacob.
Hey, I'm going to see the movie. With my girlfriend.
Your girlfriend. Well, I am also...
Are you going at midnight?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, you're going at midnight. Oh! Your girlfriend is just a cover-up, you twihard. I say this, but I'm actually seeing this movie 2 days early. So, yeah. By the time this podcast is published, I will have seen this movie. And I will be reviewing it for a newspaper, but you can also check it out on my blog, Masters Film Review at .wordpress.com. Whether I like it or not, I'm seeing this movie. Whether I have a date or not, I'm seeing this movie, so better just fess it up and watch some Edward Cullen action in there.
yet again, another series that I wish it had a face so that I could punch it.
Then you're going to love this other bit of news. The big rumor going around is that they're going, and this is actually, I think this is like coming close to reality, they're going to continue the series
after the
fourth one. Because there's too much money to be made off all those fangirls who just go and pour into the sea of theaters. In fact, I think the Warren Theater is doing, for their midnight launch, is renting out all their theaters just for that one movie.
I totally believe
it. Are you serious?
Yeah, like I know at least 12 theaters they're closing out. They're renting out for the midnight
show. Dang, yeah. That's retarded.
Yeah, absolutely crazy.
And I'm about to go God Bless America on this whole thing.
go ahead and just kill them all.
I'm about ready to knock somebody out.
I'm just going to say, when editing some scenes for this movie, it was painful to sit through. Like, there's a scene where Bella arm wrestles this guy. Why? Because she has to prove that she's the best. Why? I don't know why she has to prove she's the best, but this guy's a douche. And yeah.
Because the whole world revolves around her, and she's the best, and she's awesome, and she's cool.
But she still
and everyone loves her!
But apparently she still needs to be protected by Edward and Jacob. So, anyway, hope none of you listeners are big twihards out there. If you are, I don't apologize. I just sympathize.
Bye.
So, yeah, those are the big ones coming out this weekend, and I'm sure in our next podcast you'll hear me rant about this one some. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and close out, and we are actually going to be taking a week off because of Thanksgiving break. We are college students. Well, three of us are college students. One of us is an employee, but we all have families that we want to get to, so unfortunately we will not have a review podcast out next week. However, when we do return, we are going to review Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. That is a movie directed by Michael Gondry, and it stars Jim Carrey and Kate Winslet, and it is a mind twister of a movie. So, be prepared. Alright, I think that's about all we got. Until next time, live free or try hard!
Kill the Batman.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
I'm a dude named a dude disguised as another dude.
Game over.